Great. Public Works Committee meeting for Tuesday, December 17th, 2024, at 6 p.m. We got Alderman Merritt, Alderman Sullivan, Alderman Cordiales, and Alderman Coke present, and staff.
Citizens' comments? Nobody online?
Nope.
Minutes for correction, approval, November 19th, 2024.
Yeah, no.
Good. Well, good. We'll take them as approved. New business. First item, PW 2024-100, resolution approving a change order relating to well number 10 on raw water main improvement project.
All right, so you had a detailed memo within the packet, so this is a balancing change order, as we typically do when the project's closed out, all the punch list items are done, we bring that forth in front of the committee and the city council. So this is the first and only change order for this particular project. It is a slight increase of $14,463 and change, and we are recommending approval of the change order. There were a couple of additions. This project traversed mainly through the high school and also through the freshman academy. Mm-hmm. A couple of unknowns we'll run into. We ended up replacing more of a water service, I believe, within the freshman academy site than was anticipated, but we were there to take care of it while we're at the site dug up. And then there were some additional pavement replaced on the parking lot near the freshman academy. So that pretty much accounted for the majority of the changes. So be happy to address any additional questions or any questions anybody may have.
Was it just add pipe kinks?
Correct. 1961.
All I would say is that that's kind of a small amount for that size of expenditure. Yes. So, all right. Is that you guys?
Fine with that?
Yeah.
All right. Put that on. So. Item two, PW 2024-101, Grain Reserve, Bailey Road, and Mill Road Park.
All right, there's a nice memo in the packet from Brad, this map on proposed parking restrictions. Since the packet went out on Thursday, I talked to the mayor. He is opposed to the majority of the parking restrictions on Bissell, Bailey, and Beresford along the length of the streets, just because you have a fair amount of townhouses and there's limited opportunities for parking, so he would prefer to leave the majority of the subdivision area open for residents to park in, even if it results in double-sided street parking, which it hasn't been much of an issue yet. So, but the issue is that you have people parking at the entrance here on Bailey Road, close to basically the intersection of Mill, and they are double-sided parking from time to time. And so as people are turning in to the subdivision from Mill Road, you have a bottleneck scenario, and you have a site impairment issue. At minimum, we would recommend that we do, no parking, basically for the intersection area. The resident that emailed the mayor, and I think had copied Siever and Rusty on it, was interested in getting one-sided street parking or no-sided street parking for just this block length down to Beresford. That could be something we want to look at if you want to entertain it, but I think that at minimum, just restricting it, at least on one side here and then on both sides near the intersection is probably warranted. With that, intersection parking is not allowed either, so that's not really something we have to codify, but, we would just try to make it clear within whatever ordinance amendment we do that no parking is allowed, at either intersection and then maybe for a section of this on one or two sides, depending on what everybody thinks. So with that, we are proposing, the full, public participation process where we have you guys endorse the parking restriction, we send out mailers, and then get feedback, and then have you guys vote on the restriction after you've gotten feedback. If we're just limiting it to either the intersection or one-sided here, I still think there's merit in doing the mailers, to at least some of these townhouses that are going to be adjacent to it. But if everybody wants to cut the red tape and make it quicker, I don't know if anybody would squawk too much about, a limited parking restriction just along that one block there. So with that, open for discussion and see what anybody thinks.
go first. So as I was thinking about this, I'm okay with the intersections. I had a situation in Wendette about a year ago, and I had five or six residents come to me about changing the parking. So we went through the process, and I found out that it was like 200-5 against us doing it. So I learned real quick that you really got to weigh the amount of, and now I hear one resident, I'm wondering about that part, if it's worth. And then also in River's Edge, this could open a huge Pandora's box there too, because I have a couple residents there that would love to have parking rules restrictions. And so I'm a little concerned about precedent was set if we did the whole subdivision like we're thinking. But that's just my couple of thoughts, and of course Rusty and Craig. But you guys.
I like the idea of kind of limiting it to kind of one side there on Bailey, just so people can see.
Yeah.
I don't think anything has to be too crazy. And
do you want to do both ends or just the north end?
Were they only complaining on the north end, or are they still parking double-sided on the south end too?
They were only complaining about the north end.
Let's just do the north end, and if we finally need to do the other one, then we can do that later.
Okay.
So can they park at the intersections? Because, and I know in Wendette we stopped that. We actually specified and put signs up saying you can't park from here to here, because that was happening on Claremont, I believe.
That's rules of the road. You can't park in the intersection.
But they were doing it at Claremont, because, and that was a T, so they were basically parking.
That's a police issue that we can ask them to take care of. We don't have to amend that with signs.
I thought we put signs up there, though.
We did, to make it clear, yeah. But you don't need
them. You don't
okay,
need
I just, I remember us doing that, so.
Yep.
You guys don't plow those, do you?
We do.
Do you have any issues getting through with the plow?
Double side, we kind of just leave it, because with 12-foot plows, we'll be taking off mirrors. But 2-inch snowfall, they're supposed to be off anyway.
Okay.
So, we're okay.
As long as you don't have any objections, I don't see.
No, I like Ken said, you know, the last time it was 5 people that voted, and it ended up being 200
oh, yeah,
that didn't want the restrictions. So
I felt really messed up for even doing it.
Let the process take its,
I was
its way. We could put the signs up in the first block with no problem, and it's kind of like we did on Garden Street, where we put the signs up, nobody complained, and we just codified it.
So legally, once the signs are up, then that's all Chief needs to force?
You have to have a code amendment over
correct.
The top.
Okay, so that's what I thought. It takes more than just signs, right?
Okay, so Rusty said north intersection and then one-sided restriction.
Yep.
So we've got it currently proposed for the west side down to Beresford, and then you want it to stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Do you want to do a public mailing process as part of it, or you want to just vote on it and go from there?
Just vote on it, I guess.
Okay. Everybody else okay with that?
Yeah. Do you have any concerns, Matt?
No, my concern is when you restrict parking on the side of it as a park. That's not an issue.
Clear.
Although I do like how we added the signs on Allendale. That helps the Lily and Illy parkers, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the guy that lives across the street.
Sure. There's always one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take this to committee city council in January, and we'll go from there.
Yep. And if you look real close, you can see there's two little dots on there where the signs will be. We won't do it on that side, to that side, and then down right there. So we go through the intersection, so it'll get the intersection.
And is this fully built out, and there's not one lot next to the park there on Bissell, is it?
It is fully built.
Okay.
Well, this section is fully built. This field over here, I think, is
correct
for apartments.
Apartments.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like 325 units.
But those have not been permitted yet.
Correct.
I don't believe there's even an
application. So if that happens, does Big Rock extend through?
Yeah, what happens there?
No. Beresford.
Beresford continues
yep.
east.
Yep. Beresford.
And there's not currently any plans submitted with a roadway layout of those. So.
Conceptual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Private, though, I believe.
Yeah, I believe they are.
They're all private.
Yep.
What, the apartments would be private?
Yes. It'd be private road.
Yes.
Sort of like in Highland, Fox Highlands over there.
Correct.
Would they make
a little different? It'll be
would
more.
Would they make them that narrow again too?
It'll be up to them because they will be private. It'll be more like you see with the parking right adjacent to the roadway. Like they can make it smaller. It'll be almost like a parking lot with through lanes. So it won't be a typical city street. But it won't be, like we would never accept that it wouldn't be able to be brought up to our standards.
That's, yeah, I know that's that place. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Item 3, PW 2024-102, resolution approving a bid to construct the Outer Main Water Loop North portion of a water and sewer extension project, C1 Yorkville LLC.
All right, first of many bids that we'll be talking about here tonight. So this particular project is coupled up with the next one. So Alder Main Water Main Loop, that is the water main to be constructed out to serve Cyrus 1. So since it's about 23,000 feet of water main in total, we elected to break it up into two different contracts, you know, allow for different multiple bidders to bid this type of work. So. The North contract, and that's what we're talking about here first. So we did take bids, and bids were well below estimates. We had, I believe, 14 bidders on this particular project. J&S Construction, low bidder, and we certainly are recommending award to J&S in the amount noted, just slightly less than $2 million. And yes, this will be funded in its entirety by Cyrus North. So I'd be happy to address any questions. We are anticipating a winter build, so maybe starting up in February and trying to build it before you know the farmers get in and want to put their crops in.
So when you said C1, I mean it's not with Cyrus, but then down further we to the south, and you call it Cyrus. Is there a reason with the nomenclature? Change?
No.
And I think it's in the official document too, the legal part of the agreement. C1 and 1 and Cyrus 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it just, I was seeing it and I'm like, oh, maybe they're using two different entities.
No, the only, question I would have had was that Fred answered another couple of days. It's interesting that there was some significantly more bidders on the first one, but it opened a week earlier.
Correct.
So is that, in your opinion, just from my analysis, because people knew they were potentially out of the running, so they didn't bother on the second one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be our assumption.
Rusty?
No questions. Great.
All right. Item 3. So we got to still do this item 4, or can we make a decision on both? But we should have them probably separately, right?
Yeah, they're separate agenda items.
Okay.
You need to then award with a different motion. So
that one probably should be on regular.
Both 3 and 4?
Huh?
Both 3 and 4?
Well, I guess we'll read 4 for the record, and then that one, that's just an engineering agreement that goes with it.
I'm guessing they're all regular.
Okay, maybe we should do it that way. All right. Okay. PW 2024, this is item 4-103, resolution approving an engineering agreement with E Engineering Enterprises Incorporated, the Elder Main West, the Elder Main Water Main Loop North Contract Construction Engineering Agreement.
Construction engineering contract for the previously mentioned bid award. It's with EEI for $191,445. And it's all covered by Cyrus One.
Good. All right, yeah, we'll put that on regular. Item 5, PW 2024-104, resolution approving a bid to construct the Elder Main Water Loop South portion of the water and sewer extension project, C1 Yorkville LLC.
Yeah, this is the southern portion of the work. Less bidders as compared to the first, the north bid. So Wittinger Excavating, low bid on this particular project. We are recommending award, and the amount is noted in the memo, almost $2.7 million, but that was also below us.
Good. I'm assuming the same starting time-ish.
Yes, correct. Same schedule. Right.
Good. Regular agenda. Item 6, PW 2024-105, resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated, Elder Main, Water Main Loop, South Contract Construction Engineering.
For the same project, construction engineering is $230,778. Again, covered by Cyrus Hall.
Okay, good. Put that on regular too. Item 7, PW 2024-106, resolution approving a bid to construct the southern sanitary sewer connection portion of the water and sewer extension project, CC1.
All right, yeah, last of the bids related to Cyrus 1. This would extend sanitary sewer to the Cyrus 1 site. We did bid this project out in early December. Bids came in. Fisher Excavating is the low bidder. Fisher happens to be the same contractor that built the Cornelius Road Interceptor, which went out to Bright Farms. Good success with them. So we are recommending acceptance of the bid in an amount of $826,000 and change, as noted in the memo.
Item 8, PW 2024-107, resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated, the Southern Sanitary Sewer Connection, construction engineer.
Same project, construction engineering this time is $87,251. Again, covered by Cyrus Hall.
Good. Item 9, PW 2024-108, 2024 sanitary sewer lining improvements. And there's two resolutions, A, approving a bid to construct the sanitary sewer lining improvements, and B, resolution approving a change order relating to the 2024 sanitary sewer lining improvements project.
All right, so more explanation on this one. We did bid the project out. We intentionally packed a lot into the original base bid in knowing that we would probably be over, and then we would kind of select the work from there. So the work did come in, probably a little bit more than we expected, but not totally out of realm. So in situ form was a little better. They've done work in the city before. They specialize in lining. That's their forte. So we certainly would recommend acceptance of the bid to them. But since they came in over budget, we would also recommend a change order. So technically, you have to award the full contract, then you have to approve a change order to get it back down to within the budget. So the budget for this particular work is $390,000. So some of the work was basically identified by YBSD. In their latest sewer system evaluation survey or study that they did. So they did a recent study within the last year or two. They provided Eric and myself kind of an updated target area to line to try to address the high amount of inflow and infiltration that's getting into the sewers. So that's kind of how we picked the areas, if you will. So the areas that we're still suggesting are the worst of the worst. The areas that we peeled off, will be picked up, in the next program. We'll, step back and complete that work the next time we do a project. So a lot in the recommendation, again, recommending a full award and then a change order to reduce it down within budget. So anticipate some questions, so certainly open to addressing anything that may pop up.
So this is like behind Greenbrier, right?
It goes to the very north edge of Greenbrier, yep.
And then is this a pond feed into this?
Nope. That's storm sewer. This is sanitary.
Okay. This is purely sanitary only.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so typically, and the city's done a lining program for the last five, six, seven, eight years or longer. A lot of it is lining clay sanitary sewers, and Basically, you're just trying to seal off points of entry where groundwater can get into the sanitary sewer, because that all ends up down at the wastewater treatment plant. You end up treating a lot of additional stormwater, rainwater, and you know, YBSD is trying to control some of the peaks that come in to the facility.
So that line, is it, what was it made of?
Clay.
Clay?
Tile. Vitrified clay pipe, yep.
And nowadays, if they were doing it, it'd be PVC, right?
Correct.
And yep. So when was this done?
A little bit of different time frames, mostly between the mid-60s to 70s.
Okay. And then when you line this with the clay, does that hold up as it, well as... Do you ever have to line the PVC?
Only if there is a bad joint or a bad spot, you can go in and do a spot repair. Otherwise, the PVC has like a 100-year lifespan.
So then anytime we do this, it's going to be for a clay-type tile?
Correct.
Does it have a long lifespan?
I was shocked that it's actually that long, because any kind of shifting, right, it can break that.
This stuff is not as brittle as the clay tile. It actually will kind of...
I'm thinking like it's old farm fields.
Oh, yeah, the old clay tiles, but these you can go up to a good size offset. Like, if one pipe was here and one's here, you can go right through that and get rid of that offset joint and still keep flow.
Sometimes as they're pushing it through, if there's enough space to, it'll kind of realign itself.
Yep. Well, they blow it up.
Generator Gen 2, probably?
Yes.
Okay, put that on paper. 10, PW 2024-109, resolution approving an engineering agreement with EEI Incorporated for 2024 sanitary sewer lining design and construction engineering.
So this is construction engineering, but it also includes the design component to effectuate the change order. So the design component is $16,074, and the construction engineering part of it is $18,280.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll
put that one on there too.
It'll be
another
year you get that.
Yeah. Item 11, PW 2024-110, Grand Reserve Unit 3 bond release.
All right. Grand Reserve Unit 3. So, about a year or so ago, the City Council accepted the public improvements. So, there is a 1-year warranty period that transpires after you accept public improvements. We did go out, do another inspection in the fall. The developer addressed any final issues that popped up. So now we're ready for a full release. There's one lot within the development, or within Unit 3, that does not have sidewalk on it. So the developer is putting up a bond for that sidewalk value. And once that's in place, you know, certainly the city clerk will check that before a final release will be given to the $98,000. So certainly recommending that the city release the bond, you know, once they put up the sidewalk amount.
Good.
Sure you want to read that one? No. It'll look better. Help out. PW 2024-111, resolution approving an amendment to the professional services agreement to an agreement with Kluber Incorporated for the design of a public works facility.
Yeah, so Kluber had sent me a request for a fee increase a few weeks ago, and I had sat on it and considered it, did some analysis, talked to a couple people before bringing it in front of you. And determined that I felt that it was reasonable based on the language in the contract and the work that they put in, you know, post original agreement approval in February. The gist of it is that they are asking for a base services fee increase from $1.362 million to about $1.671 million. So that is a 22% increase in fees. It does correspond to the 33% increase in square footage from February, the last time that you guys had endorsed the building plan. And that was because we went and visited Montgomery and South Elgin and came up with, you know, a larger garage, larger wash bay, We added some different rooms on it. We added a mezzanine, et cetera. So we added, you know, tens of thousands of square feet, which required a fair amount of effort on their part to draw it and then give us cost estimates for it. So it is reasonable. It does have the effect of reducing the overall fees of the project from 6.2 to 6.6, depending on their cost estimates, down to 5.6 to 6.0. So both of those are within the industry averages. They did spend a fair amount of time with us, both internally at a staff level and then with the elected officials on the tour, that I think warrants it. And then I had just checked other towns to see if this had occurred, and it has. So I guess relatively common for them in their Aurora and the Material Stream projects, what they're currently doing, and then they've got a couple other projects, which wasn't quite apples to apples, because it was different contract format, but similar theory, where they get in, you know, you make some assumptions, as with all projects, and when those assumptions turn out to be incorrect with time or scope of the building, you know, you're supposed to go back to the drawing board and kind of figure out what's reasonable. So, of note, this is different than the Cordigan contract we approved for this building, which was a percentage-based. So every time we did change orders or when the bid prices came in, higher or lower, Cordigan got more or less money as a result of our decisions and the bid prices. Here they're still proposing a flat fee. So as long as we don't substantially change the scope of the building, change orders, bid prices won't matter. They're basically locked into that fee going forward, unless we have a reason, obviously, to come back to you again at a later date. I don't think that there will be, though. We're moving pretty far along into the design phase with picking out different components of the building, materials, and kind of some design decisions. They're still kind of targeting a bid for April or May, so I'm guessing that'll be in front of you probably in February or March for pre-bid approval, just to get moving on it. So with that, happy to take any questions.
I'm just concerned this doesn't start a floodgate of every couple of months.
I share that same concern.
Yep.
And the other concern I had was, and I think I asked Bart about this. So if for some reason something changed and we reduced the cost, they would reduce their cost as well, right?
Yeah.
They would stick to their higher charge. And okay, so let's say you did work. You decide, okay, I'm going to phase something. Phase A, phase B, phase C. So how would that work with their contract?
Let's say we cut the building in half.
Theoretically. Well, okay. I was thinking somewhere.
Just cut out half the garage. Okay. Cut out several million dollars. They would still have work to do to effectuate that before bids. So theoretically, they're spending more time. But on the other hand, you know, this goes both ways. You know, it's supposed to be relative to the project's value. And so I would anticipate asking them for a reduction in price. Would it be one-to-one, where if we cut out, you know, 20% of the project, would we ask for a 20% fee reduction? We might, but it probably wouldn't be reasonable because they're spending more time. So
cutting is one thing. What if it was like steps or like phases? Because technically what they designed is covering the whole thing, and you might not be doing all phases at one time.
So their contract is only set up to bid it all out at once. So if we change that up, we're back to the drawing board with their fee entirely.
Okay.
So other than what we've already paid to them and what we've already agreed to, obviously. So it'd probably be more work on their behalf. They'd have to prepare multiple sets of drawings. They'd have to do double bid administration, et cetera. So it might actually end up costing us a little bit more, you know, on a percentage basis. But theoretically, the contract is drafted such that if we make decisions to reduce, you know, the fee probably should be reduced in some way or another. So.
And we have a good meeting Wednesday coming up. I think it's mostly budget talk.
Oh, okay.
So with our normal Wednesday meeting, it should be just budget talk. So we will have a much better idea as well. And Ken, to your point of like afraid of the floodgates opening, that's why I think we went with that guaranteed maximum price.
Right.
So that kind of locks it all in there.
Well, I think, but then you've seen it, we're raising here, and it was like...
But once we get the building designed, we'll have a final square footage, so it should not change. And then we have the guaranteed maximum price.
Is it inappropriate to say something along the lines of, this one's already kind of, if it was to happen again?
Well, as it happens again, no, I'd say absolutely not.
No, that message I think has already been delivered to them, and to the tune of my initial communication to them was, you know, I said in a memo in February, perhaps inarticulately, you know, this is a fixed fee contract. You know, if the price goes up or down, you know, their fee isn't going to change, and so this fee shouldn't change. The contract language basically says if you increase scope, you're supposed to then mutually agree to increase cost, you know, that type of thing. So, and I expressed that you guys have a long memory and, you know, that you were going to go there and, you know, and they understood. So that's why they went through the... They went through the mechanism of showing us what's happened in other projects and that this isn't uncommon, so...
If you say it's justifiable, then... Okay.
I kind of get the increase, but, like, we kind of changed the scope. We did the tours in spring, and now it's the end of the
year. Maybe we shouldn't invite them.
And now they're saying, now that we've done more work on it, we're going to charge you more. Why not just, you know, be upfront with the additional cost at the time?
I agree. I mean, they should have probably been a little bit more upfront with it. That's something that I'll express to them, but...
The only other thing I would think is maybe they're not as hungry right now. Because if it was my company, I don't know, for this amount of difference, if, I don't know if I would have been, I don't know. It all depends on how hungry you are for the business and stuff. It's, you know, they're business decisions.
Regular agenda then?
Oh yeah. For sure. Thank you.
That was a good one, Rusty.
Make sure you raise your key to comment.
Yeah.
So you don't lose your voice.
I'm sure that one's going to have a lot of discussion for me. Old business, issue none. Any additional business? Meeting adjourned 6:32. Thank you.